بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Before we could go to Masjid al-Aqsa, some person had seen a dream here that the Imam Sahib in the Masjid al-Aqsa had made some error and I was correcting him. So I didn't pay attention to what he had to say. But nonetheless, Allah Ta'ala had taken us with a lot of ease and respect. When we had completed our namaz, so from the distance I could see the Imam. And deliberately I avoided him, so that people may not feel that we've got something to do with the Imam, it becomes a political issue. So deliberately I didn't go and visit him, though he had come here and I had met him, but I felt it would be most prudent not to meet. But nonetheless, he had spotted me and he had come to see me. Nonetheless, continued, met each other, whatever else. So he began to discuss certain points and I answered thereafter. I explained to him, see, all this what you are doing is not going to take you anywhere. Protest, march, and whatever else, whatever the action you are taking against the government is just a short-term solution, small short-term. Someone got a heart problem and you're giving him a Panado, so it's a short-term. It will just suppress the pain. Nothing further than that. Then I explained to him, gave him two answers. That Allah Ta'ala's system is different to the Baytullah and different to the Baytul Muqaddas. The system of Allah Ta'ala that prevails in the Baytullah, which history bears testimony to, is that the custodians of the Baytullah will be the friends of the Baytullah. So if anybody is not the friend of the Baytullah, then he will not have the custody of the Baytullah itself. The Quraysh were the friends, they had the custody, and then they were changing. So Allah Ta'ala replaced them with the Muslims. So in any period of history, of human history, you will not be able to show, one cannot prove that those that were not friendly with the Baytullah had the control over the Baytullah. You can't show it. And if anybody tried to challenge, then within seconds they were finished. Abraha tried, and then within seconds these people did not have to make any elaborate preparations. And Allah Ta'ala had destroyed them. They were totally destroyed, devastated. Then, if you look at the Baytul Muqaddas, the system of Allah Ta'ala that prevails in the Baytul Muqaddas is totally different. وَقَدَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. Okay, the system for the Baytul Muqaddas is totally different. Allah Ta'ala mentioned it and declared it to the Jews that two times you people will go corrupt. You will go off, you will go totally off the track twice. And you have to bear in mind that the Jew was the Muslim of that zamana. The Muslim of the zamana was the Jew. So Allah Ta'ala is addressing them. the new people will go off. And when you go off, what we will do, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. That we will send our servants against you, and they will finish you up. They will finish you up. They will go right into your homes. They will even go to the point of destroying the sanctity of the masjid. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا. They will go to that point to destroy the sanctity of the masjid. They will take you as prisoner. All this will happen. So, then it happened that these people, in أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ, you are right, that will make things right for you, you will gain the control of the Baitul Muqaddas again. And you go off, then we'll appoint your enemies over you. Once it happened, they went off, Allah Ta'ala got their enemies over him. Nebuchadnezzar, many of us may have heard the name. So he was appointed over them. Then again they made Tawbah. When they made Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala granted them the control. They went off again, and when they went off again for the second time, again the Romans, they fought against them and they removed them, they destroyed them, took them as prisoner. So the Imam Saab asked me, this is very exciting, which tafsir you got it from? So I told him that I have seen this in the writings of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. But nonetheless, this is not subject to any tafsir, because it is evident, it's clear. Is there anything that is against reality? Show me in this, is there anything that's against reality, against mushahada, what you have seen? Nothing against reality. So the Muslim of the time, if he got right, Allah Ta'ala gave him the control. When he went off, Allah Ta'ala took the control away from him and gave it to the enemy. Right? Then the Muslim of this age, he is also subject to that same system. If he goes right, he gets the control of the place. But he goes off, he can't claim to be the rightful custodian of the place. Then Allah will give it to the enemy. Now Allah's enemy is these people. They will get the control. Right? And you will feel very much humiliated that the enemy have got the control over this place. So you're fighting tooth and nail, and you're biting your teeth. How come these people have got the control over us? So you can go crying, and you can carry on lamenting over your loss, but you're not going to get the control. You want the control, then the control is somewhere else. The control is, then I explained to him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That you correct yourself, Allah Ta'ala will make all the systems work for you. You will get control, you will get the respect, you will get authority, and in two, in a short period, Allah Ta'ala will grant it to you. One typical example is the Baytullah at Abraha. Right? It was an informidable army, they could not challenge that army. But in no time, Allah Ta'ala had destroyed them, finished. Right? Then the second example is the army of Fir'aun. According to that zamana, that was a superpower of the time. But when Allah Ta'ala wanted to destroy them, then in no time they were finished. They were drowned. فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمْ فَانْزُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. You know how beautifully the Quran Sharif puts it, and how simply Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. So Allah says, we caught him and his people and we flung them into the ocean to see what was the consequence of these wrongdoers. So how simply, just caught them like this. Like we take one mosquito and just throw it into the water. So it was so simple for Allah Ta'ala, so simply they were destroyed. So these other efforts that we are making, really it's of no avail. A little bit noise will make, the whole world will cry, then because of public outcry and all that, they will buckle under pressure, they will come down, and then they need to do it, they'll do something again, and they'll do it undercover, and how they play the media, all of us know all that, see? Divert attention, all these things, this will continue, all this will continue. So what you are doing really is not going to bring any change. So the real change, if you need to get the real change, then you conform to this verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. So Imam Sahib was very pleased to hear this. Says, alas, if only these Urdu kitabs were translated into Arabic, that we could benefit from it. Now his mind did not go there. Now I realize that was the meaning of the dream. Okay. His mind didn't go to this. His mind went, they may have gone to everything else, challenge, fight, protest, march, and do everything else. But what was the real solution, their minds did not work towards a real solution. Like how you have it in India, same thing happens in India as well. As long as the Muslims were straight, everything was going on, for 800 years we ruled. Right? 800 years we ruled. Right? And then when we went off, the rulers went corrupt, drinking wine, womanizing, and they went off the cause. Allah took it away from you. When you were right, He gave it to you. 800 years you ruled over India. All the monumental sites that you see in India is all Islamic history, whether it is Taj Mahal or whether it is Delhi, Jama Masjid, whatever it is, Lal Qila, whatever, all that is Islamic heritage. Right. So when you were right, Allah Ta'ala had given it to you. But when you moved on, then Allah Ta'ala allowed your enemy to rule over you. If you look into the history of Spain, that same thing happened there. Such great ulama that were produced in Spain. Up till now you get in the kitabs, the two great towns that produced luminaries. One was Qurtuba and the other Shatiba. Shatiba or Shatibiya, whatever they use in the Qirat, etc. Right. So where this is starting from? It's starting from Spain. And they had such a rich history. I will go and cry about it, we had a history. And these people don't care about that. You can go and cry. But they don't want to be worried about it. You need to change yourself. You get the root right, then everything will work. Everything will work. Slowly, Allah will get the whole thing working for you. But now we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're doing what we're not supposed to be doing. So until and unless we don't change ourselves, then you're not going to get anything. See? So the ummah at this point in time, what they need to see and what they need to examine, what was the cause of the downfall? When they rose so high that one person had to shout in the African jungles that, oh animals, lion and oh snakes and pythons, move away from here. And if we spot anybody or any one of you after this, then we're going to kill you. Just one announcement was sufficient. The history has got it in record up to this day. This one announcement was sufficient, and the snake had moved with its maul, the lion with its maul, the leopard with its maul, all had gone. Just one announcement was sufficient. So that was when you came right. When you came right, everything came right. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when he was moving with the army towards Bahrain, and Umar radiallahu anhu's instruction was, you must reach up to Bahrain as soon as possible. And when they came, they saw there's a sea in between. How do we go across? So Sa'd radiallahu anhu told the Amir of the time that look into your army, is there any gunegar there? Or are they all obedient? Are they all true and loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is there any sinful person amongst them? The Amir also, what eyes he had, that one glance, said, Alhamdulillah, I see them all to be obedient. It was greater than a scanning machine. Just one glance, he just looked at his army, said, Alhamdulillah, I see them to be all muti and farma bardar, all to be obedient, all conforming. So پھر کسی قسم کی خوف کی بات نہیں. There's nothing to worry about. March armies. And they marched the armies on the water, and so calmly, they were calmly, casually discussing with each other. And one person said, "Hey, what about your needle? It fell down." He said, "Don't worry, the wave will bring it up." And the needle fell, a small little wave came, it brought it up. He picked it up, and he says, "We reached on the other side, and not even the hooves of the animals were wet. Apart from that, when the enemy saw us from that side, they said, 'Dev mi amadid, Dev mi amadid.'" These people are jinnat. Jinnat came. Said, the ocean, they passed the ocean with such ease. They're not people, they are jinnat. They passed with such ease. So the bottom line here again was, are they obedient? If they're obedient, then it will work. And if you're looking to overcome the enemy with force, right? Not with obedience. One is you come with the weapon of obedience. You come with the weapon of loyalty. Then you can cross any hurdle. If it's loyalty and obedience, then you can cross any hurdle. But if you want to use the weapon of force, the weapon of numbers, then history has shown it that in most times, in most periods of human history, the enemy had greater numbers and superior weapons than you. Look at it, even to this day, the weaponry is superior, the numbers are greater. So the only weapon that is going to be useful is the weapon of obedience, is the weapon of loyalty. You become loyal, you become right, and you see things will work out for you. But now you don't want to use that. Now you keep harping about this protest, and they're doing this, make it a media issue, and fight here, and talk about this here. What happens? Nothing happens. They're not concerned about what happens to you. When this, you talk about this Banu Qurayza and this Banu Nazir, Allah Pak says about them, مَا ظَلَنْتُمْ أَنْ يُخْرَجُونَ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُمْ حُسُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They were so powerful. They are so powerful. The Quran Sharif is saying, these two Jew tribes, they were so powerful. It was not the furthest guess that they will ever be expelled from Medina Munawwara. And here, Allah Ta'ala qadhafa fi qulubihim ru'ba. Allah Ta'ala had instilled fear in the hearts. And they just got out of their fortresses, just marched away from Medina Munawwara. So who was the one that was doing it? It was Allah Ta'ala. So the Muslim, all he had to do was to conform, to come right. He came right, and Allah Ta'ala made everything work for them. Alas, if only the Ummah can understand this. The Tabligh Jamaat is doing this to bring some type of understanding, right? They're doing something, alright, within their capacity, what they can do, they are doing. But if there were more Jamaat that were doing same thing, the same that the Jamaat was doing, come on the right. Just conform, agree. Otherwise, you will find your own enemies, and they are going to rule over you. You will be humiliated. You will be humbled down. That is because you are not prepared to conform. Not prepared to conform and you want the control. So Allah Ta'ala will ask, you don't want to conform. It's my business, right? Just for a simple example, it's my business. And you say you want to have the control of my business. So alright, you conform, I will give you the business. But you don't want to agree. You don't want to conform. You're doing all wrong things in my business. Then I will ask you, then why do you want control over the business? You don't want to conform. You don't want to agree. You don't want to surrender yourself. You don't want to submit. Then I will ask you, then you don't want to submit. You don't want to surrender. Then why do you ask for control? Yes, if you were conforming, you were agreeing, and then you ask for control, then it was different, something else. There's no conformity, there's no agreeability. In the clothing is not right. Their dressing is not right. And now this thing is spilling into the woman. The type of immodesty is prevailing over the woman as well. In the Arabs, before there was some type, some vestige of shame and modesty. Now this thing is spilling on them. And this thing, all this thing started from this free-mindedness. And perhaps this free-mindedness came from the Freemason. Free, this must just be free. Thinking, allow your thing to be free. Allow your thinking to be free so you're not governed, you're not controlled by anybody. You do as you want. It's a certain type of a culture, a certain type of mindset that prevails over you. You must just do what you feel like. Just do. Nobody must control you. Why must you be controlled? Why must you be regulated? Why must you conform to any principle? Many a times, I ask this question, that there are a lot of Dawat movements, right? A lot of Dawat movements. But then in the Dawat movements that are in vogue today, you will find for approximately 70 or 80 years, the amount of acceptance that the Tabligh Jamaat has got, the other Jamaats don't have that level of acceptance from their work, the kalguzari that you hear, people come from abroad, local, etc. The level of acceptance Allah has given them, then any other Dawah movement hasn't got that level of acceptance. I don't say they're rejected, but you can safely say that they don't have that level of acceptance. They don't have an international network. Show me any other Jamaat who's got such a great, powerful international network. Show me. Can you show me any Jamaat? So what's the possible reason that they have got such a great level, such a high level of acceptance? So when I looked at it, I analyzed it, it's two reasons perhaps. In my weak understanding and my analysis, I found two things. One is, this group here, they are conforming with the verse of the Quran, of the statement of all the Anbiya, مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. We don't want any remuneration for the work. We don't want any remuneration. Alright, now and then someone will throw a dawat. That's, by the way, the dawat is not a remuneration. It's just a token of respect. You're respecting the Jamaat, you call them to your home. But it's not a remuneration. Otherwise, you can see anybody that is out, apna maal, apni jaan. His wealth and his person. His own wealth and his person. He's going with it. So that's the one common thing that I find in this whole Jamaat movement, that they're going with their own spirit. Now this is the deen spirit that allows things to prevail, allows things to continue, when you are doing things with your own wealth, own self. Otherwise, I will do it subject to you see me right. You see me right, then I will do it. The whole world is working around like that today. From the government circles to whichever the circle, you see me right, see right, see me right, you get the thing. You want any order, any consignment, whatever else, just you see right and you get it right. Any tender, you must just see them right and it works out. Whether it's in this country, whether it's in any other country. Other countries, they may do it very much more discreetly, but they will do it. Everybody will do it, see right. And here is مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. That's the principle that they work with. And the second principle they work with is that no matter who it may be, how learned the person may be, maybe a Sheikh al-Hadith or a professor or a doctor, whatever else, he will have to conform to the 6 points and he will have to conform with the guidance and instruction that is coming from the head of Nizamuddin. Nizamuddin will be so simple, they may have, up till recently I heard they don't even have a phone there. They don't have a telephone there. Forget a fax machine or whatever else, but they don't even have a telephone. But if anybody has got any suggestion, he must pass it there. They must approve. Once they approve of it, then only can it work. Otherwise, it won't work. You may do it somewhere in one town, someone is doing something, but it will not take on because it didn't meet the approval of that center. So they have got just one leader. One leader, and it is a work that is done purely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. That's sincerity. Now if any group desists from any of these two principles, then obviously they'll go helter-skelter. You taking a decision, he's taking one decision, he's taking something else, you do something else. So will there be that type of harmony in that work? That work will not be harmonious. Now, If a Tabligh Jamaat from here has to go, for example, to Timbuktu, they also, if they still apply the same 6 points, they don't feel themselves lost. The local Jamaat in Timbuktu also will conform with the 6 points. So they are working in harmony. Say, alright, morning figure, and after Maghrib Gush, and then Talim here. So the whole same Tartib. Maybe the languages may be different, but the Tartib will be absolutely the same. So there must be something that gave them that acceptance. So it is for the ummah now to see, alright, we have tried everything else, and the more we tried, the more we saw our people are getting massacred. If one, not one place, then in another place. Not in the second place, in the third place. But we're seeing that we're getting massacred all around. Anywhere we're looking, but we're just getting massacred. So it is for the ummah now to think, alright, we tried this. This we tried. And we saw the results of it. For the last 50, 60, 70 years, we saw everywhere, wherever we tried, whatever we tried, but it was not working. Right? Now, let's try this. Let's, for at least 20 years, let's try this other one. Let's conform. I remember, Azharji Rahmatullah had mentioned once, he says that the Muslims in India, if just 60 or 70% of them become namazi, and they become, they take cognizance of the Sharia. Just 50 or 60% must take cognizance of the Sharia. And they must be punctual in the namaz. You'll see the whole thing will turn around. The whole thing will turn around. The whole world, not the whole, India will turn around. Just that they read namaz and they take cognizance, they respect the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and see the whole thing will work around. So, what I'm getting at is that we have tried this lever or this means we have tried, this weapon we have tried, and we saw what was the consequence of this weapon. So now, why are we stubborn? Why don't we want to use this other weapon? We use this weapon and we see it didn't work out. The more we used it, the more we failed, the more complications it created for us. So can't we now leave our stubbornness, leave being adamant, and try this other weapon? Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we learn how to be conforming, how to agree, how to leave the stubbornness of ours, and that real element that will bring and attract His attention, His assistance, at least we go towards that. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.